Father God, I'm so thankful to be able to come into your presence because of the sacrifice and accomplishment of your Son, Jesus Christ. I've been invited into the outer courts. I've been invited into the holy place. And indeed, I've been invited into the Holy of Holies because he tore the veil in two, and I'm able to enter in with the sacrifice of his blood. Didn't cost me a nickel. All I had to do was believe. Thank you for allowing us in. Thank you for allowing us into your presence, Father. We give you glory and honor and praise, and may this night be a wonderful night of understanding your word and lifting our hearts up to you and being able to walk in fellowship with you all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and thanks and praise. Amen. I'd like to thank the clergy here tonight for allowing me to stand here and address you wonderful people. Thank Pastor Ted, Co-Pastor Marcia, thank you for allowing me the privilege, the trust to be here to address you. The title of my message tonight is Curb Your Appetite. And we'll get right into it. All day long and all week long, you and I put up with mountains of questionable information. In fact, it has become so outrageous that we are in great part numb to it. Consider most of the software you and I use every day. We use it on our computers, our smartphones, or other devices that we interact with. And before we use it, we are confronted with the big red button labeled, I agree. That's right. Just below the fine print that reads, please review the end user license agreement before continuing. And I think that Dion has a graphic there for me. Go ahead, put that up. And there it is. So what do? Well, very simple, we ignore it. We scroll down real fast, tell me I'm wrong. All right? So we can get to the bottom so that we can hit continue so that we can get on with what we were originally going to do. Do we know what we just agreed to? No, we don't, because we didn't read it. We just said, I want it. And hurry up, and I'm trying to get something done here. When we consume entertainment material, you can put the logo back up there, Dion. When consuming entertainment material from any source, let's say a TV show or a website or a movie, what we do is we suspend our belief systems. Take a cartoon, for example. You got my second graphic up there? There he is. Has everyone seen this or something like this? Right. Will Elmer shoot Bugs Bunny? Absolutely. Do we get upset? No. Why? Because Bugs Bunny will never die. We have suspended our belief system and we sit down and grab a bowl of popcorn and enjoy the jokes. That's what we do. What about that movie? You can get rid of that graphic. How about that movie or that website or that sports entertainment that we partake of? Well, we say, I disagree with some of the content I'm seeing or hearing, but in order to receive the parts that I want or need, I'll temporarily put up with the parts that I don't want, the bad language, the peripheral advertising on this website, the immoral suggestions in the content, the visual inappropriateness, and the downright sexual impurity or suggestiveness, or just the general overall godlessness with which we are presented on a moment by moment, day by day as we live our lives, listening to the radio, doing the things that we do, right? So, you see, when we first get into the boat and we sit down and we push off from shore, we think to ourselves, well, it's okay. I've got this. I'm strong enough to withstand the onslaught and the battering of the waves of falsehoods disguised as facts. I'll be okay. All of this suspension of our mental filters, whether you know it or not, leads to implicit acceptance of the cultural norms of the present day. And before long, you've fallen asleep. If we're watching news, we filter out the falsehoods through our previously educated understanding that journalism is mostly quasi-facts anyway. And it's adjusted with the bias of the journalist who's telling us the story. Is it true? Probably not. What have we done? We've suspended our belief system so that we could get to the part that we think we want. If we're watching a Hollywood film, we filter out all the profanity, the sex, the violence, the political correctness, and all the other evils that come along until our mind has become a great big filtering system, while the content is nothing but an assault on our moral sensibilities. And as the decades have rolled on, the immensity of this, the assault has become more and more blatant, but we willingly ingest the content and spit out the seeds, until it seems that all we have left is just mountains and oceans of seeds. So where's the meal? Where's the good stuff? Where's the entertainment? Our society consumes electronic content for more hours every day than I care to admit. And you don't even have to watch TV to constantly be bombarded with the lies and the falsehood from your phone, your email, your internet browser. You know, it comes in off your children's educational system. A note from home? What are they teaching your kids in school? The junk mail in your mailbox? There's a telescreen at the gas pump. There's a telescreen at the grocery store. There's a telescreen at the 7-Eleven. There's a telescreen at the airport spewing CNN. You know it. And we find ourselves forced hour by hour to turn on the mental fans and filters while the lies and ungodliness continue their assault on our sovereignty. What about your smartphone? Our minds have been conditioned to put up our guards. See, on every turn we put up our guards. We hear something, but we put up our guards. Is that true? What are you saying? Why are you saying it? How are you saying it? Don't think this doesn't all filter into when we receive the word, and that's where I'm going with this. This is the problem. We're so used to the habit of suspending our beliefs that we run the risk of losing our belief system entirely. Man ends up believing nothing. He's constantly wading through the surf until he's forgotten what he was looking for. If someone then suggests that there are truths outside ourselves that are worthy of being embraced, we have been so busy suspending our belief mechanisms that nothing can enter us. We screen it all out. We are tired of being assaulted. I don't know how many Christians I've talked to who frankly don't believe most of what the scripture teaches. It's really sad. And then when it comes to God's word, we've developed a defense system that we don't even recognize that we have it. And if we did, we don't know how it got there. I assure you, it was by design. Satan's design, and there's nothing by accident or coincidence, nothing. It might look that way, but we've been surrounded with an army of principalities and powers 24/7. It's not an accident. Now, good principalities and powers and bad ones. There's armies of angels as well as demons. We're going to take a look tonight at Psalm 12. And we're going to read from the New American Standard Bible. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Have you heard them on the TV saying that? Yes, you have. Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, refined seven times. The words of the Lord are pure words. But because we're so used to suspending our beliefs, when these pure words from the Word of God get to us, sometimes they can't get in. So I wanted you to recognize what's going on. This is not necessarily your fault. You're being assaulted every moment of every day from the world outside you, and you have to guard yourself. You have to curb your appetite. You, O Lord, will keep them, verse 7. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. The problem is, once we get to the pure words, we become so conditioned with the words of the world that we have to defend ourselves with the suspension of our belief system and our mental filters. Sometimes we find ourselves fully fortified against God himself. You ever find yourself there? I have. I'm looking at this word, it's just not getting in. Well, there's a reason. Have you ever felt like that? But I assure you that God can and will bring us back if we want him to. All we have to do is ask. Look back up there in verse 5. Can you do verse 5 again for me there, brother? Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. He'll do that for us. Because we get out of balance once in a while, and we want to get back into balance. We don't know how. We don't even know that we're out of balance. But we can get back in. He really wants to help us. Let's take a look at Revelation 3:20. You all know this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, dine with him, and he with me. He's not unwilling to reveal himself in his word to us. He isn't. He's right there. He wants to. God is never the problem. But we can be the problem if we're not careful. We have come to treat God's communication in the same way we treated the end user license agreement. Don't do that. Show the end user license agreement again. We're so anxious to get to the punchline or down to the bottom of the thing. We're so anxious to get down to what we want that we scroll down to the end of the communication looking for the I agree button. So be careful. Never mind that. Go to James. James has a word for us if we're acting in such a selfish fashion, because we can just treat the word of God like that. It's time to read my Bible now. Hurry up, I got to get to the end of this chapter. What kind of an attitude is that? But you guys have never done that, have you? Right. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're words to be loved, enjoyed, and savored. But if we have this attitude, maybe we need to, suspend this appetite that we have for all the worldly communications that we get, where we're constantly suspending our belief system so that we can warm to the Word of God. And when it comes, we go, a meal. That's the meal I want. James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. He has scrolled down to the end of that user, and he wants to go, where's the I agree button? Hurry up, let's get up. I got things to do. This is how we live. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, this is the guy who actually reads the end user license agreement. Because you see, the Bible is the end user license agreement. That's right. And he thinks about it. You see, He abides in that word, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. And we want to be effectual doers who are blessed in what we do, right? We want to get back to treating the word of God with the same reverence we had when we first heard it. You remember that? You remember how you loved the word of God when you first heard it? It was the sweetest thing. Let's always get back to that, and let's always be at that place where, oh, I get to hear the word of God now. That's where I wanted to bring us tonight. Back there in Revelation 3, the verse just before verse 20 is cool too. Verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Take a look at Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Part of this discipline is to screen out the noise. Then you end up with peaceful fruit instead of doubt and confusion. We'll go for the fruit. The book of James once again deals with this also a bit. James 1:21. Wherefore, in the King James, it says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. This is curbing our appetite. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The NASB has it this way. Maybe it's a little better. Therefore, put away all the filthiness and the rampant wickedness, because it's all around you and you have to deal with it every single day. And it assaults you. And as it comes into you, you suspend your belief and you suspend your belief and you suspend your belief. But now you've got a habit of suspending your belief, and the word of God comes around and you go, that can't be right either. Nothing else is. And it's very subtle and you don't know that you got there. So beware not to get there. That's right. So put away the filthiness and the rampant wickedness. Let's look at the Message Bible on this one. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. Take out the trash. That's a good twist on it, isn't it? See, you screen out the garbage. You put it away. You curb your appetite. But church, don't be disheartened. God knows what you put up with on a daily basis. He gets it. He knows what you're going through. He brought you to such a time as this. You're supposed to be here now. This is where you're supposed to be, and this is when you're supposed to be. He's working with you. Paul told the Corinthian church the following. In 1 Corinthians 5:9, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You'd have to take a hotel room on another planet. You can't avoid it, right? But again, you were made to be here now, and he's saying, watch out. Watch out where your belief system is. Be careful out there. I was going to call this, why don't we just walk away? You know, turn off the phone, turn off the TV, turn off the computer. But you can't just walk away. You can't do that. You have to live in the world, and you have to approve of more end-user license agreements. You have to. It's a pity, isn't it? See, it's a challenge to minimize the worldly content that you take in and subsequently have to filter out. But it's a challenge that all of us face. I wonder if we can fast from the cell phone. I'm a computer repair specialist. I wonder if it can be done. But I might be able to turn it off for increasingly longer intervals of time. How about between 10 p.m. and 9 a.m.? It's something to think about anyway. I haven't decided to do it. How about you? When Lester Summerall came to the home of Smith Wigglesworth to meet with him, he had a newspaper under his arm. And Smith knocked it out onto the ground. He says, "We don't allow anything else in this house but the Word of God." Lester Summerall was like, "Whoa." They became friends over time. And Lester brought his paper, never brought his paper over again when he visited him, I'm sure. Do we need to get this radical? I'm not ruling it out. Maybe we do. But each has to live his own life. How much of the word do you want? How sweet do you want that word to be to your palate? That's how you have to adjust your mind as it is assaulted and trying to root out the belief system that you have. You know, do we have to get that radical? Maybe we do. But let me leave you with this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you will be able to endure it. So don't be too hard on yourself, realizing that all your brothers and sisters are facing the same challenges that you are. Simply draw near to the Lord and be certain that He desires to draw near to you. Okay? He will not leave you or forsake you. Curb your appetite. Father, thank you for allowing me to set your word before your people. May we continue to draw close to you and to draw into the Holy of Holies, where we can meet with you and speak with you and find out what you want us to do and then obey. Thanks, Father, for how much you love us and for how much you're just on our side. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And in his name, we pray. Amen. Thank you.